1P, WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Only 11 days until the opening of the September goose season and the railbird, a.k.a. mudhen seasons. 21 days till the opening of the early portion of the autumn bow season for deer. Wow, where is the time going? Let's not rush it, people. We still have one solid month of summer remaining, the best time on the calendar. I think of Mungo Jerry. Anyone remember Mungo Jerry? Back in 1970, the song In the Summertime. Great lyrics, but in size forever in my memory. When the weather's fine, we go fishing or go swimming in the sea. And there is some great fishing going on right now, firing on all cylinders. Whether you want white or blue marlin, whether you want tuna, whether you want flounder, whether you want snapper blues, you want tog, you want kingfish, blowfish, all over the place. In fact, that's our next segment with Captain Alex Majewski, Lighthouse Sport Fishing here. Get the family. Go out and enjoy some blowfish. They are all over the place. A lot of stuff is happening. Also joining us in the show is Captain Wayne Cicero, former professional bass tournament angler, 15, 16, 20 years, lure designer for Yuzuri. Talk about a flashback. Met him back in the 90s down there in Port St. Lucie. Ran into him in a tackle shop the other day. Let's talk some hot weather, hot, ugly weather, largemouth bass fishing here in South Jersey. And also joining us is Ronnie Jones, ACP Rednecks Pride Game Calls and Outdoor Sense. Hey, early predator season. People think predator hunting is a winter dealio. No, you have the bow season in October. You have the shotgun season in November. And the New Jersey Predator Club South Jersey chapter has a meeting coming up this Tuesday. Man, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. We have a loaded show. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. In the summertime, we go fishing or go swimming in the sea. We're always happy. Life's for living. That's our philosophy. 1970, Mungo Jerry. Ha ha. Getting it done.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
Fun in the sun, the summertime, it's on the wane. Time to just really enjoy some late summer fun fishing. My fun fishing, I'm a snapper blues or a ball. This guy's still out there chasing the flounder. What about blowfish? Blowfish. Lots of them out there. Not so easy to catch. It's not that they're not easy to catch. They can be a little picky. Okay, they can be a little finicky now and then. It's finding them. But when you find them, and it is right, you can load up the boat. Youngsters, especially kids like this 65-year-old 300-pounder with the headphones on in the studio right now, just loves going blow fishing. Again, finding them is a key to the whole thing. Join us on the line right now, very special guest, Captain Alex Majewski, longtime friend of Rack and Fin Radio, Lighthouse Sport Fishing. This man does it. Does the stripers, does a doormat and area rug fluke thing, but he just... One of his things he tells me, Tommy P, I just love taking families out catching blowfish. It's a little bit of a challenge. Again, finding them is the key. But when you're on them, you chum it, you do it right. You're going to load up the buckets, load up the coolers, and you're going to have some of the best eating you will ever experience from fish from Jersey waters. Sorry, Captain Alex, I get too excited, man. How you doing, brother?
All right, Tom P, the man with too much energy. How are you?
Lock, cock, and ready to come rock to talk to you. We're about to blowfish. And Alex, I know you're hardcore on the striper charters. You did a fluke charters extraordinaire. But I remember when you said to me, we met at a tackle shop. Tompy, I love taking the families, the youngsters, going to catch blowfish. Now, I remember blowfish, and listeners, that's how old I am. Way back there on Butler Boulevard on Route 9. What's that, Bayville or Lenoka Harbor, somewhere
yeah,
up there?
Yeah, Bayville.
Right at the end of the bulkhead. It was always the week before Memorial Day to the first week in June. Then they were gone, and they disappeared for how many decades, Alex, correct? Then they 2004 or 5 they started to come back. Now they're flourishing. Yeah. Now you said, Tom, it's easy, but it's not, because importance, location, location, location. Where to look for the blowfish? Alex, Cap, I like to kick off with that thing. Where are you finding blowfish now?
In the bay, I like to go around 5 to 7 feet of water on the right off of sandbars and grass flats. And as long as there's a moving current, fish the current. You know, get your chum pot going.
Right.
And they've been really thick. Tom, yesterday I had a family out, a 4.5-year-old kid. He was catching one after the other. It was amazing.
operative word there. You mentioned grass flats. Shout out to Johnny DeBona, Fisherman Magazine, the ad manager. Blowfish Ace Extraordinaire. He says, Tommy P, you have to find, because I guess the blowfish like the vegetation. Now they're eating little crabs or whatever in their house. He says, you find grass, invariably you're going to find a blowfish. And you just follow that up, man. Excellent.
Right. Yeah, so you just get off the sandbars and get, I don't like the too fast-moving water like in the channels. Mm-hmm. Like, Oyster Creek or Double Creek, I go up and, around one of the historical places is the research buoy.
Right.
The BI buoy, 42 buoy, places like that. I like to, I don't like people. That's why I load my boat with them. I stay away from the crowds because, if you anchor up and chum in a crowd of two dozen boats, you're competing with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So just go off the fleet a little, and you'll find them.
One old timer told me, he said, you can't over chum. It's important to bring that in, but getting the right flow, positioning the boat, critical. Are you double anchoring at all?
No, Tom. Actually, I think this year they're so thick. Yesterday I had wind against current, and my boat was actually sitting sideways on my anchor. So I just put the chum pot on my starboard cleat, and we fished down current from that. I adjusted. Other than that, if I have to double anchor, what I do is I bridle, and I bridle is I put a loop in my main anchor line about 10 feet off the bow cleat,
mm-hmm.
and then I attach a clip to it, and then tie. If you can picture this, tie off to the stern cleat, so you have almost like a triangle coming off.
There you go. Okay.
The one anchor. Note to caution with that. That's not the type of anchoring situation you want to do in a fast current.
Good point. Yeah. Joe's on the line. It's Captain Alex from Juicy Lighthouse Sport Fishing here, based up there in Barnegat. Well, Cap, back to the moving water thing. Outgoing or incoming moving water, does it make a difference which tide? Because we caught them on both, and I know you catch, well, you pretty much catch them all the time.
Yeah. Right now, it really doesn't matter. As long as the water's moving and we don't get an upwelling of the ocean, mm-hmm. when that drops that temperature down to 60 degrees, mm-hmm. and you get that back end of the incoming tide, that may slow it down a little bit. But other than that, I've seen no difference in tide as long as it's moving.
Alex, chum, very important. The standard clam chum or bunga chum you get in the tackle shops.
Clam chum.
Clam chum works. I've seen guys.
Clam chum, that's what I do. I use a half a log at a time.
Okay.
I cut it in half and I keep it in the plastic and I put it upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And I always remember to take the plastic out of the chum pot after it's done and, shake it every now and then, and probably every 25 minutes,
mm-hmm.
You got to re-chum.
I had some guy telling me, and he says, Tom P, you get it at Tractor Supply. I said, I never heard of it, but well, guy chums blowfish, Captain Alex Majewski, I kid you not. He said with rabbit feed pellets.
I've heard that before from others. I've never tried it.
I said,
but
it's like kind of using milk. Chicken for crab. But nah, it's just, no.
Well, it's like using corn for winter flounder.
Oh, boy, I remember doing that up there in Quincy Bay. I was getting looks from the guys that were using the bloodworms. We're speaking with Captain Alex Majewski, Lighthouse Sport Fishing. Topic is blowfishing right now. It is very hot. But now, Al, have you noticed they can be picky? I mean, you can catch them on clam. You can catch them on squid. And we've caught them on fish bites. Have you noticed sometimes that they'll prefer one over the other?
No, not really. If I'm chumming clam, I'm fishing clam. And I like to use the standard, it's a no-brainer. Just go to a tackle store and get a two-hook blowfish rig. Make sure it's a long shank. Because with the shorter shanks, they're either going to bite off the hook, or you're not going to be able to get them off the hook.
And man, can they open up your finger, huh? Almost as cleanly and quickly as a triggerfish. And I have that from experience on my palm. I'm still looking at the scar, Majewski.
I had one yesterday. It was a mega sized blowfish, probably about 11 inches.
Whoa!
And it went on my one back box. Tackle storage box,
mm-hmm.
and it puffed up between the box and the gunwale, and I could not free it until it deflated.
That's like me after my second anchovy pizza. Okay, we got that down.
Yeah.
Captain Alex, anything in particular tackle-wise? I mean, I have a, you know, I have a little, you know, 4.5-foot ugly stick with a spinning rod, just
the wider, better.
Right.
You could go out there with the Barbie or Buzz Lightyear Star Wars spin cast outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And catch them. 1 ounce sinker, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't overthink it. Buy the traditional 2-hook blowfish rig. Put a piece of clam on, salted clam. Just make sure you cut up enough clam to keep yourself going, because otherwise you're going to be like out of bait in no time and be spending more time cutting clam than fishing.
Well,
and my trick is, as soon as it hits the bottom, close the bail, tighten the line, and pick up the sinker, and slowly pick it up, because they don't come and hit like some of the other predatory fish, you know, where it's a hard hit, a strike,
right,
and you feel it. They just sit there and they float, and with the bait in the current, and they just pick at it. So when you pull up on that rig, you feel them, and then you just give a little jerk up to hook them. And reel them in.
Mm-hmm.
Over the rail and into the pail.
Over the rail, into the pail. Speaking of Captain Alec Majewski, here, the topic is Northern Puffer, a.k.a. Blowfish. Well, Cap, on a serious note, the conservation aspect, again, listeners, there's no limit. There's no length limit, no possession,
nope,
cooler limit.
Nope.
But using some restraint, because, you know, I've seen guys keeping blowfish that when you peel them down, you're gonna have a piece of meat the size maybe of a marshmallow, if that.
I am up like 7.5-8 inches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, like you said, there is no limits, no size limits, no bag limits. But you know, it is a resource, and you know, resources are limited, and to keep it sustainable, you have to sustainably fish.
Well, so it gets my ass in the air sometimes. Again, particularly with blowfish, because I went through the highs and I went through the decades, multiple decades of not fun, maybe getting one in a crab trap here and there, and actively fishing for them. Guys filling these big coolers, and then they're, hey, you want some blowfish? They're giving them away. Well, is it your job to feed the neighborhood, bud? Use what you can use, and they freeze very well, listeners. We'll get into the cleaning aspect in a couple of seconds here with Captain Alex Majewski, Lighthouse Sport Fishing. But, Al, that just really tightens my nuts, man. I just don't appreciate that. Keep what you're going to keep. Not, again, that's your job to again, feed the neighborhood with blowfish. It's wrong.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, I try to teach sustainability on my boat, but, you know, you are entitled to what the law, within the law.
Right, I get that. Captain Al, to the cleaning of the blowfish. Now, listen, I'm from the old school with a nail and a piling, the board cut behind the head, get the tongs, grab that piece of meat, and pull it back. Now I understand on YouTube, the guy's showing how to clean a blowfish in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The way I do it is I still cut it behind the head. You have to use the serrated fillet knife.
Oh, yeah.
If you use a regular fillet knife, it's going to dull it after 4 fish or so. And I cut it down to almost to the belly, and I kind of turn it inside out,
mm-hmm,
and pull it.
And there,
and that's the way I do it.
Listen,
keep it simple.
Blowfish are called chicken of the sea for a reason. I'm telling you, they are so delectable. I get this crazy about them. I'll cut out that little middle bone or cartilage, whatever it is, because I don't even want that interfering. And I used to, as a kid, just eat the whole thing. It was like a cob, you know, when you had corn on the cob. But I'll tell you, once you taste blowfish, except with the exception of my palate anyway, triggerfish, there's nothing comparable to it. Al, they're just absolutely delicious. They're the best in the bay.
Here's my take, Tom. If it has teeth and it can crush mussels, clams, crabs, it tastes good. Triggerfish, blowfish, blackfish.
Tog, right? And there you go. It is in a diet. Well, Captain Al, how's your schedule looking? I mean, you're slam jammed and crammed. I know that through the summer into the fall. Now, September is your prime time for the area rug and doormat fluke lists. By the way, inside. You're not out there getting your ass kicked in 3s to 4s, 5s out there on the reefs. Captain Al has it dialed in. But, I mean, do you have any openings at all? Are you packed?
Yeah, I do. No, I do have some openings next weekend into September with the fluke season. Yeah, and my trick to fluke is I have a Florida-style boat. It's a Dusky,
mm-hmm,
and I've taken from the pages of Florida Guides where you make bait before you go fishing. I may not do it on every trip, but when it comes to doormat season. If my clients want to try and target a doormat, I'll take the time, go ahead, either load up the live well with peanut bunker, or better yet, 6 to 7 inch snappers.
Oh.
In the last 5 years, I put 3 clients on, 3 fish over 10 pounds, and all came on a snapper.
But I tell you, people, airy rugs and doormats.
Inside.
Again, that's a whole key to me, Cap. You know, sometimes I can get seasick on a floating dock. That's why I'm booking you on that. But, Cap, back to the blowfish now. Listen, school's going to be starting pretty soon. You have, another 2 weeks out, Memorial Day or Labor Day weekend, rather.
Right.
If you want to get your kids out to try, I mean, you can rent a boat and try to do it yourself. I don't know. Get the kids involved, and you're going to have a great time yourself. Captain Alex Majewski, Lighthouse Sport Fishing, the blowfish trip. Cap, I've seen people leave your boat with smiles too big for their faces, man. Just having too much fun. Too much fun. Give that Facebook page, website, and phone number, Cap. Go.
All right. It's lighthousesportfishing.com. And I have a YouTube channel, Fishing Barnick Bay.
There you go. Captain Alex Majewski, we'll see you soon, Cap. Take care. Best of the family.
All right. Thanks.
Whoa, question real fast. You're going to do any birding this fall?
Oh, yeah, of course. My migration season started in the beginning of June or July.
And there you go. Captain Alex Majewski, the man outdoors. Cap, we'll see you next week, but take care.
All right. Take care, Tom. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. A little long on that segment. Up against a break. Coming up, Ronnie Jones. Talking coyotes and foxes. Early season. Getting it done. Grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Blowfish rule. Chicken of the sea down, baby.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
I should have been a cowboy.
Toby Keith, Country Comes to Town Tour.
Red Solo Cup.
Live in concert.
I fill you up, made in America.
September 5th, Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Atlantic City, with special guests Lane Hardy and Matt Stell. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Toby Keith, Country Comes to Town Tour.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 21st and 22nd. As I said in the opening statement, one day closer to hunting season, September 1st, kicks off the Canada goose season, the special season that runs to the September 30th. And, yes, you will need a HIP number and a state and federal waterfowl stamp to do that. And also, Railbirds open. Yes, you need a waterfowl stamp for that as well. You have your clapper and your soar rail. Soars, more freshwater, further up, like way up there along the Wading River and stuff. Oh, man, great. Just great bird hunting in that you never know where these things are going to fly. They go up, they go down, they go up, they go down, cut to the sides. You may be hot on quail. You may be hot on the sporting clays course. Until you get a couple of railbird hunts under your belt, you're going to be missing some shots you thought would be easy to make. Hey, just a reminder, coming up this Tuesday, I should say next Tuesday, this is Saturday, at 7:30 p.m. at the Piney Hollow Sportsman's Club, 3125 Victoria Avenue in Newfield. That's down here in Gloucester County. It's going to be the New Jersey Predator Hunting Club meeting, the South Jersey chapter. Yep, that's hunting seasons are approaching. It's funny, the other day, where was it? Was that up in Wharton? We're doing some back roads. You know, every once in a while, you know, you're driving along, especially these, you know, these sand roads or tow roads, whatever. Just happen to glance in a rearview mirror. Just for whatever reason, glance in a rearview mirror. Pew! Something went across just as I passed my beat-up Xterra. Fishing rods hanging out of the window. I said, damn, that was a coyote. I didn't know any better. That was a coyote. Not late in the day, maybe 4:30, 5 o'clock. Getting on, you know, sun's still pretty high up there. Said, let's see. We have, in October. Yeah, we have a predator bow season coming up pretty soon. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize they equate predator hunting with the winter deal, nighttime hunting, and that is a great thing. You have early predator hunting season. You have archery, and then in November, you have a shotgun season. Join us online right now, very special guest, Ron Jones, trapper extraordinaire. He runs ACP Rednecks Pride Game Calls and Outdoor Scents. The man is a wizard in the woods. When it comes to scents, when it comes to calls, he has no peer. Ronnie, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. Let's talk Predators, but a little early. But yes, day's passing. It's almost September. Here we go, Ronnie. What's happening?
How you doing, Tom?
How am I doing? I'm talking to Ronnie Jones. The daylight's getting shorter. Honey, season's getting... I still love my fishing, Ronnie. Don't get me wrong there. But, you know, you get me fired up. I look on my calendar. Jonesy! Oh, boy. Here we go.
It's getting close. It's getting close now.
Ronnie, tell us about this meeting. This was pretty good. I may be able to make that ride down here 7:30 if I can find it. Even I'm learning how to use a GPS on the phone. But Ronnie, it looks like a pretty aggressive itinerary, agenda here. Go into it, please.
Yeah, what we're going to do is cover the new layout of the digest. As you know, they had that new layout and all the meetings we went to and what have you. So we're going to cover the new layout. Makes it easier for folks to understand the complicated Predator seasons.
Ron, I'll tell you. Let me interrupt you a second. You got to be a paralegal pretty much to decipher the do's and don'ts and where's and nots of that thing.
Yeah, we're trying to change that. We're trying to get everything simplified and down into, you know, one set of regs type thing. But we have the three different seasons. We have the bow season. Mm-hmm. And then we have the small game portion that we call it, mm-hmm. and then we have the permit season. Everybody concentrates on the permit season at the end there,
sure,
mainly because they're not deer hunting anymore or anything like that. But the bow season starts first there at the regular bow season. Now you cannot, you know, that's one of the problems that a lot of guys have is they think that you can shoot a coyote or a fox in that earn a buck bow season, and you can't. Can't start shooting the fox and coyotes with your bow until the regular bow season. I don't know the date of that this year. It's usually right around that October 1st. I don't know if it's in September.
The early season, I think, is September 11th or something like that?
Yeah, but then your regular season starts October or whatever that date is there. So that's when you can start. That's when the fox and coyote for bow comes in. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then November, the opening day of what we use traditional small game. Of course, it's not traditional small game. It's just pheasant season anymore. But
sure.
When pheasant season starts, then the small game portion with shotgun comes in. Daytime calling only.
Right.
Okay. And then obviously January 1st for the permit and the permit for a fox and coyote.
And right now the shotgun is limited to high-res number 4. Listeners, last year it opened October 3rd. This year it's going to open the general bow, hence, and the also Predator fall bow is going to be October 2nd, Ron. So okay. It's going to be here before you know it. Ronnie, scouting now, I mean, it's in a wildlife, again, as autumn approaches, it's a constant state of flux. I mean, nothing is stable. So what are we looking for now? Like I said, I was driving around. I just happened to look in the rear view, Ronnie, and there it went. Now, it had to be right there along the side of the road. I didn't even see it, you know, in the brush, and out it went. So where are we looking for the fox and coyotes now?
Well, foxes are traditional. I mean, they're everywhere. And foxes tend to stay in a smaller geographic area. I mean, you know, the fox will... If you're seeing a fox today, chances are you'll see him tomorrow or the next day or within 2 or 3 days. You know, they're in a smaller area. Again, your red foxes, that's what everybody, you know, goes after or sees. That's just going to be your traditional farms, your open farm ground and your open woods. And the red foxes are up North Jersey or Central Jersey has a tremendous amount of red foxes. And far north, a good population. And finally, we're getting our red fox back here in the South Jersey area again. They're starting to cohabitate with the coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
Coyotes had really knocked the red fox population down for many years. The gray fox, that's where everybody gets confused. They're looking for the gray fox in the same traditional areas that they do the reds, and that's not going to happen. Gray foxes are extremely, here in Jersey anyway, are extremely thick woods animals. The pines has a lot of them. A lot of people don't even know they're around because we call them the ghosts of the woods. They're just disappearing into the thick stuff.
Right.
your coyotes are going to be, well, who doesn't have coyotes anymore? Now,
they're everywhere, man.
They are, but the problem with them is they range, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like right now it's the best time to locate them because the family units I was out the other night locating and got a couple to answer me, and a little bit, you know, a few days before that we got a few of them to answer us, and that's mainly what you're doing now. We're going out and we're locating, but you can't always count on them being there.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be there when they're going to be there. Is that making sense to you?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
they range a lot, far, you know. So you've got to really learn their territory, how far they're actually going to travel. You know, a lot of times it might be a 2-week circuit. Maybe
wow.
If they're high densities, it'd be a, you know, maybe a seven, 8 day circuit. And then some circuits are even, you know, down the pines. And they're going to follow the food source, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're going to move around. And they're going to be in their territorial boundaries. Your family groups are going to butt up to each other. And that's why right now locating it's also exciting. I mean, especially for the people that's not used to hearing them or whatever. They go out at night and you use your call and do some long howls or
can you give us an example of your locator call, Ronnie? Come on, give us one. Come on, baby.
If I have a diaphragm, I could for you, but I don't have a diaphragm.
So. I had a sandbag on people because he's always giving great calls, but Ronnie, I can tell you've been on a blistering blistering schedule. But Ronnie, now the one I saw, right, are they running in pairs or not packs or whatever you want to tell, but the one I saw individual, maybe there were a couple behind or maybe some passed, another one passed out of me before I looked in that rear view. Will you find single dogs now running around?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay,
they're going to either be a family unit or they're going to be singles.
Okay.
There's a lot more single coyotes than there are family groups. I mean, I don't know how to say it that way any different. There's a lot of them that's you know still looking for love and haven't paired up and for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And then you have your family groups. And again, you know, you hear people say there's 15, 20 coyotes there. And most family groups is going to be, you know, 3 to 5,
mm-hmm.
Maybe 6, you know. But you know, when two coyotes can sound like a whole bunch of coyotes.
That's like one of my family Italian picnics. You got the two old ladies there. That sounds like a whole troop.
Yeah.
I'm Italian, you know, people. I can say that, okay?
You know, you talk about daylight, seeing that it's not uncommon for coyotes to be roaming around during the daylight hours.
Right.
They move when they want to move.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, this time of year, it's not uncommon to see red foxes moving during the daylight either. I got scent test sites out for our baits and lures and video cameras, and I can't tell you how many red foxes I'll see at 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
You know, coming into the site. So just because somebody sees a coyote or a fox during the day, it doesn't mean it's a sick coyote or a sick fox. Now, obviously, if it's chasing you down the street, it's probably not a
Listen, that is vintage Ron Jones. We're speaking with Ron Jones. He is the president and founder of ACP Rednecks for our game calls and outdoor sensors. They're going, hey, early season, get involved in coyote hunting. You are being hunted now with these calls. It's a whole different ball game. You have the October season and you have the November season. Again, no permits required. Then you have your permit season in January. Early season, everyone's keyed on deer, early season goose hunting, that type of thing. I understand that. You know, squirrel season, I'm a squirreler from way back when. But this is a really intriguing type of hunt. Ron, let's get back to the meeting now because we're up against a hard break. Listen, the New Jersey Predator Hunting Club South Jersey Chapter Meeting, Tuesday, August 24th. That's coming up 7:30 p.m. Piney Hollow Sportsman's Club, 3125 Victoria Avenue in Newfield. And there are Gloucester County topics covering the new hunting section of the 2021 Fish and Wildlife Digest. Again, better understanding. You've got to comprehend this thing the way it's worded. Whoa. And also a segment on calls. Going to be doing some calling.
Yeah,
maybe some door prizes. So it's going to be a good time. And Ron, you're encouraging women and youngsters to attend, and that's a great thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to go over, especially mouth calls. I'm going to cover mouth calls. We'll have electronic calls there too, but we're going to cover mouth calls and show how to work them, and they're really not complicated. People ask, what do you sound like? And I just say, you sound like you're dying. you know, that type of stuff.
Hey,
yeah, we want women and children. We need women and children in the outdoors all around, especially with predator hunting.
Understood. Also, Ronnie, I hear Captain Dom Troisi's going to be in the house.
Yes, he's supposed to show up. He's supposed to show up. I haven't. We'll see.
Hey, Ronnie, we're planning to be there. We're going to be up in North Jersey doing some photography, and so I hopefully plan on getting here, but I'll have my knapsack full of my Tom P. goodies, you know, my ho-hos and Twinkies.
Well, you know, if you can't make the South Jersey meeting, you can probably make the North Jersey meeting up there.
That's going to be the 30th, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But either one. I like to hit either one. Unless it's predator hunting, an entirely different thing. You may be great deer hunting. I went to the bear hunting, doing everything. Try the predator hunting. Winter is one thing. Night, that's super exciting. But you have the opportunity. You have October and November. October with the bow, November with the firearms, with the shotgun. Ron, it's a really, really fascinating and challenging hunt, man. I'll tell you, this is the toughest deal to go.
It is. And I tell you what, if a person's brand new or they want to learn or get better, you want to call in the fall.
Call in the fall.
You can learn. Yes.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you, by January, as you showed me, and we've lived that out, man, these things are beyond educated. They've heard every kind of rabbit squeal, woodpecker call. I mean, holy God.
Yep. They're good. They're
Ron,
good
remember we saw that one committee had a cap and a diploma. That's how smart he was.
Now, you know, I thought of you yesterday. Somebody brought up about recipes for coyote. I almost told him to call you.
Hey, man, let me tell you. Crockpot coyote rules. Okay, Ronnie, I hope to see you next Tuesday. Right, listeners, again, New Jersey Predator Hunting Club, South Jersey Chapter, Tuesday, August 24th, 7:30 p.m., Piney Hollow Sportsman's Club, 3125 Victoria Avenue in Newfield. That's Gloucester County. Get on your GPS. You can find it easy. Ronnie, hope to see you there. Best to everyone. And let me tell you, Ron, let's do some calling. Let's do some howling. Let's get it done.
All right. Well, we still owe Denise a hunt.
She's not. She, I mentioned your name. She just rolled her eyes. No, only kidding. You need to take care. Best to Don and the family. We'll see you next week.
All right.
Take care, brother.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, go to Facebook. New Jersey Predator Hunting Club. North Jersey, South Jersey, and there's a Central Jersey chapter. I don't know. We shall see. Grab that cup. Grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station.
News. Some tell NATO crowds again swarm the international airport in Kabul, hoping to find freedom. And again, Taliban fighters firing over their heads. Taliban forces reported going door to door, killing some people who worked with the U.S. And Reuters reports a Taliban official said no foreigners are being kidnapped, but they are being questioned. Tropical storm Henri forecast to become a hurricane today as it gets closer to the northeast. These Long Islanders are bracing for it.
We got a lot of alerts on our phone. It seems as if it's going to be a pretty big deal.
But I'm always prepared, you know, hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
The National Weather Service warns of potential coastal flooding. General Motors is recalling every Chevy Bolt electric vehicle because of a battery problem that may start fires. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. A thunderstorm's a possibility this morning, as well as thunderstorms around this afternoon. Occasional sun in between all that. Today's high 83. Low clouds tonight, couple of showers and a thunderstorm, mainly early, low 73. And mostly cloudy tomorrow with a few thunderstorms. Sunday's high 81. Monday, occasional sun, thunderstorms around, high 87. I'm AccuWeather's Sally Sherman on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Okay, we talked blowfish segment two. We had some predator hunting last segment. Let's get to the bass. The heat is on. I'm talking freshwater, largemouths here in South Jersey, actually largemouths anywhere. The weeds are thick. The waters are warm. Actually, the waters are hot. As in, whoa, and the bass are sluggish, but they can be caught. Very, very special guest. First time on Rack and Fin Radio. Met him at a tackle shop, And I said, people, again, I live in tackle shops from top there and what's that, Middlesex County down to the Cape, all the way back up Fortescue, up the Delaware River. Said, this guy looks familiar. Looks very familiar. Now, listen, besides looking like a pachyderm, I have the memory of one. Bet you had to make his acquaintance. Come to find out, when we had the Azuri and Seagar accounts, and I was with Wood Advertising, shout out to Dick Wood, Steve Brank, and Jack Neal, that great crew there. I saw this man at the Port St. Lucie, was it? A Northwest Enterprise Drive at the Port St. Lucie Seagar, so, you know, it was GPI distribution offices and warehouse. This guy looks familiar. Sure enough, introduced myself. He reintroduced himself. We had met years and years and years ago, and we had used him in some ad copy and stuff. It is Captain Wayne Cicero. Now, Captain, he is a registered saltwater captain. He was a freshwater bass guide for 20 years, 15 years on the Azuri pro staff. The man is a wizard when it comes to catching bass when the heat is on. Again, especially based in Florida. I read articles about him in how many Florida newspapers. He is back in Jersey, and he wants to give us some hot weather bassing tips. Really tight segment here. Captain Wayne, thanks for joining us. I wish we could do shows and shows and shows about this. Your schedule is tight. Mine is tight. How you been, man?
I'm fine. It's nice to talk to you again.
Captain Wayne, all those years, can you imagine that? I see you look familiar. You said,
yeah,
hey, you look familiar. and you did a yeoman's job, great job on designing some of those crankbaits, Cap. You were just right there with those.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Cap,
thank you.
Let's get to the weather now. It's like, went out, what was it, Thursday morning, I opened the back door and wham, it reminded me being in the lower keys all those years. No matter what, it was 90% humidity, already 90 degrees at first light. Heat is on, Wayne, the ponds are just, and the lakes are just weed infested, yet there's bass. The Sharpies are catching the bass. How do we approach it now, this time of year, when it's this uncomfortable, for lack of a better term? Go!
Well, the best scenario right now is to flip. Is to get up in those weed maps, find the holes, find the things. Everybody wants to do a frog bite now. They want a reel, reel, reel. But your best percentage to catch fish is to flip. Flipping is something with a 7.5-8 foot rod, 30-pound, 40-pound braid, an ounce weight with a 5-0 heavy hook, a creature bait, or whatever you can, you know, what is ever your favorite plastic bait, and punch those holes in that heavy weed. Go slow, methodical, you know, figure out every little hole that you can get to, and that is basically where you're going to find the fish now.
Wayne, it sounds like a military maneuver, a strategic approach to it. You know,
it's hard work. It's hard work flipping all day, but it'll pay off.
And Wayne, when you mentioned creature baits, you look at a Bass Pro catalog, I look at all these catalogs, there's myriad creature baits. I mean, in the hundreds so far. Yeah, and you said, and I'm a worm guy. Right. I'm a worm guy. I like my worms. My lovely Dee Marie, right. She likes the worms. She likes the craws, you know, the crazy
right.
things.
Right.
Picking a bait now, could it be a lizard? Is it just anything that seemed to work? If you put it in front of bass's nose, it's going to eat it?
It will work. You know, I feel like you're going to fish whatever you're comfortable fishing. Whatever you think, you're going to fish that bait better. You're going to fish that bait longer, and you're going to concentrate more with that bait. If you don't have any confidence in it, whatever you're confident in, any plastic bait will work. A worm, a creature bait. Your basic colors right now would be red shad, June bug, green pumpkin. Excellent baits for wintertime, excellent colors. You know, and you tell people, well, I like this bait, just like this bait. It's whatever you like to fish with, whatever you feel confident with. I always tell people that. That's the bait you should be throwing.
Now, Cap, a deliberate, very slow approach when you bounce it up, bounce it down, bounce it back. Curly, are you getting a little
Correct.
Aggressive under there?
No, what you want to do is pitching is more flipping is just flip exactly what it sounds like. You're flipping your bait in holes in that heavy matted cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a little clue on cover. Not all cover is the same. Like you could have a big mat of hydrelia. If you can find little clumps of lily pads in there, that's where you want to flip in those areas where you have two different kinds. Maybe you have wood and lily pads or, you know, hydrelia and wood. Whatever the combination is, try to find the little combinations and try to find those mats that are adjacent to a little deeper water, a drop-off, a creek channel. they're the ones that are going to pay off at this time of the year, because it gives the fish access to get off those flats and get down into that little deeper water where they can, you know, be comfortable.
Just
but
on the,
they will come back up in there to feed.
Okay, just on the rack and fin line is Captain Wayne Cicero. He is a former Yuzuri Pro staff member, designed a bunch of their crankbaits, bass guide for and professional fisherman for 15, 20 years. Written up in all sorts of newspapers, Bassmaster Magazine, Bassin Magazine. I remember some of those. Shout out to, God, Gordon Sprouts. I don't know if he's still alive. One of the editors there. Well, Captain Wayne, one thing. Docks. Docks important this time of year?
Docks can be important depending on the dock. If it, you know, docks are not, everybody would say, what dock do you, you got 1,000 docks. Which dock's the best to fish? My opinion is the best dock to fish is the one closest to deeper water. Mm-hmm. And if this time of the year you want to find a dock that's lower to the water where less sun penetrates underneath the dock. And, you know, where that dock is almost onto the water where you can just get your bait up under, which wouldn't be considered flipping. It'd be more pitching of your bait under the docks.
I've got lucky doing that once in a while, but I say 99 out of 100, my bait lands either on the dock, around the piling, or to either side. There's a secret to it, Cap. Yes. Go into
it takes a little bit of practice. It does. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And don't forget, in these heavy mats, there's I fished for many, many years, won a lot of tournaments fishing a Johnson spoon, going through the grass, dropping it in the holes, very slow, methodical. You take the bait, you reel it over the mats, drop it down, let it flutter down in the holes. A lot of times those fish will be following it under the mat.
Wow.
And as soon as you drop it in that hole, boom, and a fluke will work. Exact same thing. And your hookup ratios are a lot better than if you're fishing a frog. A frog is a great bait. Everybody likes it. They see the fish come up.
Right.
They come through. They hit it. But your hookup ratio is very low.
Why?
On a frog. Because they it's a bigger bait. They have to get through the mat to the fish. They to that bait. That fish has to come up through that mat. And it's a very, and most people, and me, myself have done it. A lot of times you get excited, you pull the bait away from the fish. You're not waiting that couple seconds for him to grab it because, oh, my God, it's an explosion. I'm setting the hook. Well, he doesn't have it. You just see the explosion.
Captain Wayne sold me fish years ago, people, so he said that for my benefit. Okay, what about you're saying, what are you doing? We had some pretty good luck with, I call them rats on the mats lures. You know, the big mice, the rats.
Right.
But I know the same thing. You tend to pull it away a little bit because you see what's happening. You see the movement under the weeds, subsurface, and you know something's going to happen. And before you know it, boom. Well, Cap, you're tying the braid directly to the bait, correct?
Correct. I don't use any leader at all. And people go, why? Like when we're flipping mats in Florida, we're using 65-pound braid.
I saw that. Yeah.
You know, and people say, well, you need a. What do you need that for? Well, I can get a 2-pound fish out, but I'm not going to get a 10-pound fish out.
Mm-hmm.
I need that 65-pound braid to get an 8. And then in this area, a 6-pound, a 5-pound fish is going to do the same thing to you. You need that heavy braid, that heavy weight, and everybody, and you know, average weight for flipping is an ounce.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to make sure that weight is pegged down onto your hook so it goes exactly where you're putting it. It's not getting stuck through the heavy cover. Mm-hmm.
Kevin Wayne,
important tip.
Before I let you go here, up against a hard break, weather patterns, prime time to fish. I know, listen, anytime you can go fishing, I get that. What light, dusk into dark, weather pattern, heavy overcast, muggy, what's the deal? What's your favorite time to go?
My favorite time to fish is basically, if I'm fishing mats, is heavy sunshine, hot weather. The best time to me, if you want to fish a topwater bait, of course, everybody knows you want a little overcast, flat water, calm. It's a, you know, you got to go with the conditions of the weather. But, you know, every day is a good day to get out there, and you're going to change your pattern. If you got overcast, you might be doing something other than if you got a sunny day. If it's windy, you might be throwing a spinnerbait instead of throwing a worm. Whatever, you know, whatever the patterns for that day is, you have to adjust.
Captain Wayne, before I let you go, you mentioned the Johnson Silver Minnow. To me, it was always the Johnson Silver Minnow with the Uncle Josh pork frog. That was it. Now, there's other trailers that we use, but that to me was, besides bass, pickerel, northern pike, everything, grab that bait. And listen, it's weedless.
Everything
it
ate it, yes.
Deadly. I know. Tom P., that's so old like you. Yeah, but it's effective.
Yeah.
Going back to old school, Cap, like you told me years and years ago, I remember saying, you're using that? You said, yeah, because it works. And All these years later, Cap, I can't believe I'm reminding you the same thing even today. Yeah, Cap, well, listen, I know you're heading.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead again.
Yes.
Yeah, you were saying?
Go ahead. I was saying, I fished a tournament probably about 15 years ago, one of my last formers before I actually retired officially. And the guy goes, "What'd you catch your fish on?" I said, "I caught him on a Johnson spoon with a little trailer, a little blue white trailer." And they looked at me like I was nuts. They go, "What?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "What were you doing?" He said, "I seen you fishing Max. I was just dropping it in the holes, the simplest thing in the whole world." And he couldn't believe it. And then I went to the tackle shop the next day. There was no Johnson spoons left.
There you go.
It's like everybody's like, "Let me try that thing." Like it was something new. But if you've never fished it, it is new to you.
Captain Way, well, listen, safe travels. I know you're going to be heading north in a day or two. Best of all, again, congratulations. Yes. All those years, and see you again. Listen, Northwest Enterprise Drive in Port St. Lucie, right down the street from where the Mets have their winter ball stadium.
And right down the road.
And coming up with these lures saying, and I said, "You design, yep, and here's why, this. And hats off to you, Cap. You designed some great crankbaits for your Zori, man. Best badass baits on the planet.
Right, they are. They are the best baits. Really are.
You take care, travel safe. Hope to get you. Hey, how about Rack and Fin turnover bite? What about? Okay, come on a couple of months. Come on about a month and a half. We got you.
Sure. No problem.
Wait, take care, travel safe.
You take care.
See you, bud.
Thank you, sir.
Wow. All those years ago. It is amazing. What is it? History repeats itself. What goes around comes around. I'm looking at these baits. Again, rough. We call them mules. It looks okay, but really, what are the applications for it? 2 years later, there they are, front end. Can't keep them on the pegs. Yazuri, this guy is a wizard. What a great fisherman. Relaxing it now in Jersey, but he's still traveling around. Captain Wayne Cicero. Dave, be right back. It's amazing. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk With a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk With a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk With a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Dear Summer, feels like forever since we've seen you. What a bummer. Last winter, even glummer. We twisted and turned to you for years and cheers to conquer all our fears. Of dipping and flipping and loop-de-looping? There's no more cooping us up. Time for your warm sun to rise. Nothing but blue skies, oh my. Water slides and the curliest of fries. Water slide wedgies and BFF pledgies to never let another summer pass. Buy tickets and reconnect with Summer at mauriespiers.com.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, wrapping up on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of August 21st and 22nd. Wow, let's see. We have 9, 10 days left before the turn of the calendar page. Hey, let's get a fishery report in with Dave Masterson at the Great Utchess Marina there, 1121 New Jersey Route 109 in Cape May. What is happening down on the Peninsula County? Dave, how you doing, brother? What's the bite?
Good morning, Tom. It's kind of a mixed bag. There's obviously a lot of flounder being caught, sea bass, pog. There's even been some sheep's head being caught around the jetties and the bridges. I noticed it was a pretty big one, 14.5 pound, I think, was caught up around Sea Isle. So they're around. Of course the tuna bite, has slowed down a little bit, from reports I've gotten, but, they're still catching them, but not like they were a few weeks ago.
Dave, excuse me, let me interrupt you a second. You're talking down like the Linden Coal, things like areas like that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Wilmington, Baltimore Canyon. Yep. I know there was a good chunk bite on down south, but I haven't heard anything this week. I'm not sure what's going on this week other than the tournament, the Mid-Atlantic. I saw they had somebody had over 900-pound blue marlin.
948. To me, Dave, that's a congratulations to that guy. That's a grander. That is a grander. Yes. It's great to see. Good for him. Good for him,
yeah.
man.
Yeah. I'm not sure where they brought that fish in. Are you aware? Did that come into Cape May or go to Ocean City, Maryland?
I don't even know. I just got the press alert. Yeah. Was it 2 o'clock the other morning or something like that, or 2 o'clock this morning? I forget.
Yeah.
Here it is. So to me, that's an incredible fish. And Dave, they're catching loads and loads of white marlin, releasing those. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Good for that industry.
Dave, I want to keep back to the fluke for a second, and the Cape May Reef, the Towns Inlet Reef, the Wildwood Reef, Deepwater Reef, Reef Site 21, Old Grounds. Are they getting pounded?
Yeah. Most recent news I've gotten is Wildwood Reef has been producing better than Cape May. And also we've had some guys go out to McRae Shoal and have caught some nice flounder. There's also a lot of triggers being caught, Cape May Reef, Wildwood Reef, you know, in around the other structure like the wrecks offshore.
Right.
Plus a lot of weak fish down around the Delaware Bay.
This is great
down news. Around Cape May Point, outside by the rips.
Great news.
A lot of weak fish and also kingfish. Quite a few kingfish.
I was just going to ask you about the Royals, man. Cape May is the cement ship down there? Great kingfishing down that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. It's been some nice flounder caught in and around there as well.
Okay. Dave, what's it look like?
Go ahead, Tom.
What's it like this upcoming week now? One thing I heard, there are still, and verify this for me, please. Not that I never doubt my sources, because I get calls and these guys and gals are great. Hearing that there's still a pretty good, after dark, a pretty good schoolie striper bite in the back.
Yes, I've heard that. I've also seen a few fish being caught, you know, not being caught, but brought in. You know, so yeah, they're there. A lot of, I'm sure, resident bass.
Sure.
But there's also been some nice bass caught along the beaches. You know, locals are catching some live bunker and live lining them. Plus, they're being caught on clam.
Nice.
You know, some artificials. But there's been a pretty good mixed bag. You know, I don't think it's hot and heavy on any one type of fish, but there's been a really good mixed bag of fish.
You have a great smorgasbord down there on the Cape, Dave.
Absolutely
great fishing going on.
And I think it's only going to get better too, you know, with fall coming.
Fall approach, yep.
September is typically a very good month.
Listeners, give Utch's Marine a call. Ask for Dave Masterson in the tackle shop. He will put you on fish big time. Dave, you have a great weekend. Talk to you next week, bud.
Thank you. You too, Tom. Take care.
We'll see you, brother.
Bye-bye.
And that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. Get out and enjoy. Get out and enjoy the weather. So what? Hot, so what? It is August. It'll be cool and leaves changing before you know it. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless law enforcement. God bless first responders. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.
95.5.